to yearn for their fellowship, like you said through Paul's pen. I yearn to see that I might impart some spiritual gifting. You've blessed the two of us. This is mutual faith working together, both them and us. Now, great Heavenly Father, we endeavor by your direction to walk that fine line of the anointing of God, to go to that place in you through the scriptures that will elevate us to another life in you. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Somande e reste para sondo lo mombre elegis. Regedele manduso robande le grete peri santa. O rebe isman I grenge I de besta para suronongi alamangre e ketusco. For surely, says the Lord of hosts, the time is at hand. A groundswell of the anointing is in place, a festering, as it were, a place of nesting, a bastion of glory and faith and power will be and is being released through this ministry to the region. So prepare yourselves, says the Lord of hosts, and walk circumspectly to them that are without, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. For the time is at hand, you will spearhead, not just be a part of and parallel to, but spearhead the glory move in the city. For the time has reached its pinnacle, and you are thusly prepared, says the Lord of hosts, for I've fashioned you into a wonderful tool to split the darkness of the region. And you will stand alone in many instances, gawked at, stared at, the wagging of the tongue and the wagging of the head. But in the end, when all is said, they shall run to you for refuge. Yeah. So the place is about to be shaken. Jesus. Know not that your Father has told you. Mm-hmm. Let them not understand, but you will understand, because I don't speak in parables to you, says the Lord of hosts, but with clear understanding. Yes. So stand in that place, unyielding and unbuilding and unbending, and you will find that place of solace in me that no one can move you from, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah, hallelujah. Spearhead, hallelujah. Not parallelism any longer. Spearhead, glory to God. Woo, at the front. Glory to God. Whoa, hallelujah. You got your Bibles tonight. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. We'll do some rehearsing and recamping as best we can and go on tonight. We're looking at a biblical principle that's been overlooked, the one that causes more trouble in the kingdom of God than any other. A lack thereof has caused us to not maximize the Christian life. So we're looking at the 10th chapter, the 38th verse in the book of Hebrews, where it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So we can see that by that particular scripture, that the Lord seeketh those that will walk in faith, live by faith as justified once to please him. Yes. Well, we've been justified, many of us, without living by faith and therefore not pleasing him, no matter what we've done. We've been religiously covered. We've gone to church regularly. We've participated with all our energy, and I mean our energy, not his. Amen. Amen. And we've done all we know to do. And it was impotent because this one principle had been overlooked, not by you as a parishioner, but by the clergy. The leaders of our kingdom, the leaders of the body of Christ, have been amiss in teaching the people of God along these lines. Can you say amen? Amen. So then, what is that principle? 39th verse. But we are not of them, whoever they are, that draw back. But we are of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Draw back what? Unto perdition. We'll come back to that tonight. We're not of them that draw back to perdition, but we are of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. So it says, in or to, but really it should be unto the saving of the soul. Because that particular, I'll say it, Lord. That particular word, saving of the soul, that whole phrase, starting with the word saving, being a present participle, in the Greek you would see something called EIS. And that terminology, when you look and break it all down, which we won't do, this is not a theological class, but I wanted to help you in that regard. It literally means motion into. Everybody say action or motion into. So we said saving is motion into of your soul. Meaning then, it's not instantaneous, as we went over this morning. Two-thirds of man being has instantaneous salvation, spiritual renewal and physical renewal as well. Instantly, Romans 10:9, instantly, 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 and 52. We're going to be changed in a moment. We get born again, spirit renewed instantly. But that second part is the saving of the soul. Ongoing, contemporaneous action. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, again, we've been duped into thinking the saving of the soul was the new birth. That's what's happening in the northwestern hemisphere. It's been taught that way. I may as well stay here, Lord. It's been taught that way ever since the Wesleyans and even others came over. Over in Georgia, the state of Georgia. You ever know why the state of Georgia was called Georgia? Well, if you think about it, over in Russia, there's a state called Georgia. That's where all the criminals are. So they sent all the criminals from Europe and named this state Georgia. Now, there's another number of reasons for that. I'm going to tell you right now. And when they came over to do the evangelism, what better place than to do it among those that were just rambunctious? Yeah, that's right. So all those people came into Georgia. The Wesleyans came and others came, particularly John Wesley. John Wesley came and he spent all kinds of time trying to evangelize. His father was the rector. His father was the greatest man in that whole movement that they had back in those days in the Anglican Church. He was heir apparent to all that was in his, him and Charles both. But somewhere along the line, he fell into this trap like we all have. He came over here and preached and preached and preached and failed miserably in his attempt to evangelize, miserably. On his way back, he's leaning against the rail of the boat going back to England. And stood beside him a little Moravian preacher. And the preacher asked him what was wrong with him. He explained why he was so downtrodden because he had messed up, and didn't get anybody saved, didn't do whatever. And he found out something. The man asked him, "Are you born again?" And John Wesley, the heir apparent to his father's kingdom in the ministry, wasn't even saved. Had been a preacher all those years and wasn't even saved. So then he went back and tried to tell his daddy about it. Tried to tell all the rest of the people about it. They booted him out and gave him the left foot of fellowship. So there he was, preaching on the tombs. You think people don't get persecuted that live godly? His ministry began being kicked out of his father's heirship, so to speak. Well then, somehow that didn't get transferred. I know how. Every movement starts on fire. But when financial solvency arrives, that means they don't have to struggle anymore. Are you listening to me? All of a sudden, the fire goes away. Not so us. Can you say amen? Amen. So it begins with, first of all, being born again. But there are churches all over this country full of people that are not being born again, that are not born again, because they equate the saving of the soul to the new birth. Amen? Now then, we gave you another scripture, James 1 and 21. Wherefore lay apart, that means put down, put away, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which has the ability to sozo your psuche. So the word psuche is where we get the word psyche from. Doesn't sound spiritual to me. Can you say amen? I may as well state it. May as well state it early and come back and clean it up. The soul has no spiritual content whatsoever. There is nothing spiritual about the soul. No spiritual content. Theologian after theologian, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian would have to agree that the term itself, soul, is not spiritual. Amen? Amen. Because we get psychology and psychic and all that from the word psyche. It's mental, not spiritual. It's not tangible, but it's not spiritual. Can you say amen? Amen. So then, in this regard, we have, I may as well stay here, Lord. We have sold our way through the kingdom of God. We've felt our way. We've intellectualized our way. We've done all kinds of things, but spiritualized our way through the kingdom. Can you say amen? Amen. So then, James says, lay apart those things that are filthy. And all naughtiness, Greek word kakia, K-A-K-I-A. Means every active wicked desire. You notice I said active, not dormant. Every evil active wicked desire, which is the result of the diseased soul. Everything that comes through your body that's ungodly has its origin in the soul. Every behavior you have had, thought, tried to get rid of, has been an endeavor to desensitize yourself to the soul, but you didn't do it the right way, nor did I in times gone by.
Amen.
Some of us went through 12-step programs. Some of you, I never did. Amen. Probably should have. Amen. Glory to God. And thank God for whatever. Can you stop? Because you got to abstain. You got to stop before you stop continuing. Abstain. Abstinence is wonderful. You just stop doing it. But that doesn't cure you. You can get into a program and be there 20 years and stand up and say, my name is Joe, my name is Willie so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. May not have touched alcohol in 10 years, but you're still calling yourself an alcoholic.
All right.
But when your soul is saved in that area, you're no longer an alcoholic.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
You're no longer an addict. You're no longer a whoremonger. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
When your soul is saved in that area, you can have a litmus test, a spiritual litmus test. What is that? You can expose yourself to it and it doesn't draw on you.
Hallelujah.
I might have me a Pentecostal fit here in a minute. Glory to God. Listen to me. I told you we parted hard. But I don't have to worry about staying away from anybody that's partying because I'm apt to slip. See, that's what those programs do. Don't go around anybody that's drinking alcohol because you might fall back. But when you're redeemed and you're saved in that area, they can drink standing on their head before you and it won't bother you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So then the saving of the soul is when you no longer desire the thing. If you're still fighting it and you haven't done it, your soul's not saved. You're in crisis management at best. Can you say amen here?
Amen.
So James says, lay apart those things. Picked up another witness in First Peter, chapter number 1, verse 22. Seeing, comprehending, or understanding, ye have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth through the Spirit. Now, what does he mean by that, purified your souls? Because James says in the 18th verse, we said, begat he us by the word of truth. So the word of God gets you born again, and the same word will save your soul.
Amen.
Now, going back to that, James, he says it will sozo. That means to heal or to make whole. See, God is not in partial redemption.
Amen.
He doesn't half clean you up. When he does it, and he does it, it's a thorough thing done. So he says he will heal, whole, make you whole. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:23, very God to peace sanctify you wholly. Get your mind totally renewed in a given area.
Amen.
Never have to fight that demon again.
Hallelujah.
Somebody shout glory here.
Glory.
If you were an addict, you were an addict. That's past tense.
Amen.
You're no longer an addict. You don't confess what you are, what you were. You confess who you are.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
So then, let's pick up another witness, though. Go to 1 Peter again. We can do this all night long, but we won't get over to where we need to get. So let's just pick up this last one and just go a little bit deeper. God showed me some other things here that I hadn't even taught yet. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number. Can start here. The 7th verse. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who's the subject? Jesus Christ's appearance, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute here. Peter, in the 10th chapter of Acts, and he reminds us, I think in the 15th chapter of Acts, that it was by his mouth that the Gentiles came to salvation first. Yeah. Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles, but they were first coming in at Cornelius' house and other places by Peter's revelation. Can you say amen? Don't call anything common, the vision he had. And he said, my Lord, they're just as we are. And the Holy Ghost fell, Acts 10:44.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? So now Peter is making a statement here. He's talking to the people that he's already led to the Lord. These are particular Jews. He's saying to them that we are looking for the end of our salvation, even the salvation of our souls. Yes. Well, he can't be talking about a new birth. They're already born again. Mm-hmm. Like James was talking, they're already saved. Mm-hmm. What's he talking about? The same thing we've been talking about all meeting long. The renewing of your mind. They're already born again. Well, brother, you know, the Bible says, well, let's do this. Let's go to the 10th chapter of Proverbs. We'll come back. Let's not do that. Go to Hebrews. The last chapter was 13. Hebrews got 13 chapters. Yeah. Go to Hebrews 13 chapter. And let's see if we can pick this up here and make some sense out of it. Because I haven't taught this in a long time, but Revelation is progressive and stuff keeps coming. And so we just keep on adding as he shows us. Amen.
Amen.
Now the 13th chapter of Hebrews, I think it is. What am I looking for here? It may not even be the book of Hebrews at all. Hebrews, James. Okay. Ushers, lock the doors.
Verse 17.
No, not even going there. Okay, James, the fifth chapter of James. And let's look at this. James, the fifth chapter, that's the last chapter. Look at the 20th verse, the very last verse. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner. Stop. So we're converting the sinner. So everybody say, convert the sinner.
Okay.
He which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Well, that sounds to me like a new birth. Well, what does, we can go and find it, but when Jesus tells Peter, here's a good opportunity. He says, you know, Peter, I prayed for you. That Satan wanted to see if you have weed, but I prayed for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Yes.
Now listen to me. He's about to get out of here. He's leaving. But the bottom line is simply this. He breathed on them and they were all saved. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But although Peter is saved, he's got some conversion to do.
Yeah.
Can you say amen here?
Amen.
From what? From the things that we saw him do in Galatians where Paul confronted him. A religious bigot. Bias,
yes.
Prejudice,
yes.
Saved,
yeah.
And harboring all that stuff. In his spirit, no. The conversion is in the soul.
Yeah.
I think it's the 10th chapter of Proverbs. Go over there, Proverbs chapter 10. We'll come back and get on this, Lord. But it just takes a wonderful, because we get these terms and we get we get all caught up. Oh, I'm trying to think. Where's this Lord? It may not be here. I might just be searching.
19:7.
What is it?
Proverbs
19:7. What does it say?
It says. I'll wait on the Psalm just a second.
Okay. I'm looking for it.
No, Psalms 19:7. I'm sorry.
21?
Proverbs.
No. I'm looking for that scripture that says he that converted souls is wise. I thought it was a Proverbs in the 10th chapter, but evidently I don't see it. Well, okay, whenever you find it, jump on it. But the bottom line is simply this. When you see that, it's a proverbial saying. Proverbs can be parallelisms. In other words, it can be connected one to the other. Or they could be standing alone. Amen? But if you take that, it's not isolated because we see conversion. In Hebrews, we see conversion over there concerning Peter. So when you convert, he that literally It's converting, it's changing a person's decision, their mind. The conversion is not the new birth. We say that, but really, if that was the case, Peter himself would have already had to be saved, and then he straightened his brothers. But that wasn't salvation, it was his thinking that had to be changed. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So he that converted, he that winneth souls is wise. That's the same thing as converting or changing a person's mind. The context is not salvation or renewal of the spirit, but it's changing a person's mind, persuading one to look at it another way. He that winneth souls is wise.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? Now, having said all of that, now let's get back on track. And we're seeing that this term saving of the soul does not refer to the new birth.
Right.
Now, everybody should agree on that by now. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't, you're going to have to find five blind monkeys to help you miss it. Amen?
Amen?
Now, having said that, how do we know? I mean, how do we know, independent of Scripture, that this is the case? Well, all we have is Scripture to direct us. Not your denomination, not what people feel, not what people think, not what people say. It's what the Bible says about salvation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So with that in mind then, let's go to Genesis, way to the book of beginnings. And we'll see something here that'll help us, because this is strewn throughout the Bible. How we've gotten it mulled up, I don't know, except man wants to do it his way. Genesis chapter number 1, we'll read here, and verse number 19, 1 and 19. And that the evening and the morning were the third or the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Now, as far as we know, go to the second chapter of Genesis and verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living what?
Soul.
Became a living soul. So now, as far as we can see, the word soul and its derivative or its foundation or its base first appears in the second chapter of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we see the word soul.
Yeah.
But really, if you go right back and look at that 19th and 20th verse in particular in the chapter 1, you're going to see the base meaning of soul there.
Mm-hmm.
He says here, and the moving creature that hath life. Now the word, Hebrew word che, we over here talking about suke in the Greek. Are you listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
So we got these things that are intertestament words. They're going to have to be Chaldean, Aramaic, Greek, and now we got English, which messes up everything. Amen? We see the word world, we think one thing. It could mean three or four different things.
Mm-hmm.
It could mean age. It could mean the physical world. It could mean, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
It could mean cosmos, aeon. But we see one thing.
Yeah.
And that's all it means to us in the English. Well, here we can fall in that same trap. Now, this word, this whole phrase, moving creature that hath life, is where the word soul or che and its equivalent first appear.
Yeah.
And the difference is this. When you look at the word 5590, suke, in the Greek, Strong's Concordance, you'll find one of the things, Strong doesn't always get it right, but he gets it right many times. Amen? He makes a statement, and all the consensus has agreed, that this whole phrase here, moving creature that hath life, equates to the soul, because it's talking about the fowl and the moving creature. That means the animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And say amen.
Amen.
And one of the things you see in that 5590 is the word animus. A-N-I-M-U-S. The raw, the basic survival skill set is in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul is what happens when you get to a red light and you say stop. Or you get to a crossing and there's a train thing going ding dong, ding dong. And you make an assessment. Immediately. Train moving 75 miles an hour, I'm moving 0 miles an hour. There's a possible gap of about 35 yards. Can I make it? Nay, I live. Your soul just engaged. Just like fast in the computer, you've made an assessment. You've surveyed and you've decided not to try and go across that track. Your soul is what you do with in the natural world. But you cannot use your soul in the spiritual world. Amen. Can you say amen? It was not designed to help you walk through the spiritual world. Amen. It was designed to communicate in the natural world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We get it all mixed up because we feel something and we think that's the Lord.
Yes.
You had an emotion because you felt good in the house of the Lord.
Right.
Amen. But that same gyration could have been on the dance floor last night.
Right.
Are you listening to me? And if you can't distinguish between them, you mix anointing with emotion. Somebody shout glory here. So then, this word soul is all throughout the Old Testament. But we, in the New Testament, God has equated, man, we don't have, God has equated in the New Testament his whole plan for humanity from the very beginning. To us, or at demonstrated, or laid it out, not equated, but laid it out, and shown the full blown. Because the Hebraic mindset was a experiential, outward and inward. No concept of a triune God, even though it's mentioned a lot back then. They never done connected the dots. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Go to, we'll go that now. Proverbs 20. Good Lord. Proverbs 20. And even though you see this many, many times, they never connected the dots. Proverbs 20 and 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, it didn't say the spirit of God. It said the spirit of man. So even back here, there was an understanding of man as a spirit, not a soul. So in today's, the bottleneck, everybody say bottleneck. The bottleneck in the kingdom of God is not tongues, not laying on of hands, not healings, because someone will say, we don't do that, but they won't fight it. They just say, well, we don't do that. But the bottleneck is a bipod versus the tripod man.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Because where you came from, where I came from, even though the Bible literally tells us we're triune beings, we were body and soul over there. And the reference was always about your soul, never about your spirit. Because we were body and soul. We were two-part, a bi-part being. Theologically to them. And they would fight you right now if you went back and told them, even in the Bible. Well, I know what that says, but this is the way we believe it, brother. But you believe it with the way the Bible states it. There's a particular ministry. If we were to tell you who it was, you'd know exactly who it is. He made a statement, and I saw this man in a convention throw a glass of water on Carmen. Carmen was singing and met to sing. He's sitting at this big head table. And when Carmen finished it, no one was ready for this. And Carmen turned around and was greeting the rest of the people. And the man took a glass of water and poured it on Carmen. And Carmen just kind of played it off. What you doing? And everybody went, huh. It wasn't long before my wife said something about it. She said, that man is due for a fall. And I remember him saying this. He said, man is no spirit. God is a spirit. So theologically, it moved over into his soulish behavior. Can you say amen? And so he's born again because his soul is saved and his mind. I won't question whether he's born again, but I know this. He's got some bad understanding concerning spirit, soul, and body, and it showed. From 15,000 people to 200. And still there. Why is that? You can't fight the word of God. Can you say amen? You have to take your theology, which is theo is God, ology is learning or knowledge. So you're learning about, I don't want to learn about him, I want to know him. Can you say amen? It's not theology I want relationship at a higher and a deeper level. Can you say amen? God, Lord. So then, let's get back over here concerning these things to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, because we've got to find a process by which this has been done. So we said this. What is the saving of the soul? Obviously, It has to do with the renewing of the mind. So there's no place you're going to find a better place to start on that in Romans, the 12th chapter. Is that not? Right? Okay, so let's go over here and see what this says. Romans, the 12th chapter. I'm sorry. What did I say, Hebrews?
Yeah.
There ain't no Hebrews 12, brother. There's 13 of Hebrews? Yeah, there is. But let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and I'm thinking verse number 3. Yeah, there's 13 chapters of Hebrews, and I'm all over the place here, trying to put some of the high points. Each one of these is a teaching by itself. I don't want you to just leave here without getting the gist of it, though, because if you can't implement what we say, then it won't be any good.
Yeah.
You have not, but if you can't implement it, it's no good. So go to the 12th chapter of Romans now. And look at what he says here in the second verse again. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. Now, with that in mind, we said to you, and it can bear out, I didn't come up with this. I mean, I'm just studying like anybody else does. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I love to go back and see what the original language said. Mm-hmm. Can you say amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so, now remember this. This will help you a bunch. You can find, now don't be a stickler and find a definition and try to force that definition of that Greek or that Hebrew word in every context that you see.
Amen.
Don't do that, because linguistics render definition.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
But context renders meaning.
Amen.
It's where it's placed that renders the meaning.
Right.
So it's not just the definition, it's the setting that it's in.
Right.
Now with that in mind, we see this word conformed here. Now, I said to you where I was going, the word soul, Greek word, is psuche, S-U-S-P-S-U-C-H-E, psuche, where we get the word psyche from. So it's that immaterial part of man. The animals have a soul. But what makes the difference between man and the animal is man is a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. The animal has a body and has a soul. That's it. That's why when you come home from work, and Fifi or Puff Puff or Spot, whomever, I'm so glad you're home. They're happy.
Amen.
That cat, not a cat, but that dog is happy. That cat could have swallowed the cat, said, so you're home, so what? Yeah. That's why I don't like felines. They don't give it back to you, brother, you know. Independent littles, whatever, yeah. But that dog, man, he just, come on, he's home. They're happy. Emotions.
Amen.
The whales, the porpoises, the monkeys, they all are, the birds, they have a soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't have a spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, with that in mind, so we got this word here, conform. Be not conformed to the world. That word, I submit to you, is sousgeamatazoto. Let's help you here.
Yes.
Sousgeamatazoto. P-S-U-C-H-E-T-I. Z. M-A-T-I-Z-O. Sousgeamatazo. Z-O. Take the S-U off, because I said S-U-P-S-U-C-H-E-T-I-M-A-Z-O. Sousgeamatazoto. Take the S-U off the front, the Z-O off the back, and add the word C, and you got schematic. It's S-C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. Sousgeamatazoto. So you got the word schematic. Pattern, literally fleeting, transitory pattern of the world, of the age. That's conforming to the world. A pattern that you've conformed to through your seeing and acting out what you see. Wherever your environment is, your soul gravitates to that. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
It literally lives by its own instincts and desire. That means then, whatever you present it to, no matter what it is, it will acclimate to it. That's why people said, whiskey, I could never drink that stuff. Beer, ooh, that's so bitter. 10 years later, they're a beer-aholic. Why? You overcame the bitter taste. Amen? And you were around so many people that were doing it.
Yeah.
And you finally came to the point where you became a beer connoisseur. And you start talking, oh, that Budweiser's real good. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's still as bitter as it was the first time you tried it 10 years ago. But you've acclimated to it. That's what the soul does. It conforms into this area. This is where we're going to live. Let's get with it. Can you say amen here? That's soulless living. Reaching out and conforming to the environment, and then your behavior patterns come out of that. Well, then, I don't want to become or be a pattern of the world. I was a pattern of the world. I lived. Listen, if I came in here, in my attire of 1970, if I showed you a picture of me on Santa Monica Beach, sitting on a rock with a raw headband on, with bell-bottom pants, rawhide headband, afro out to here. Are you listening to me? And fishnet shirt on, leather pants, and my whole, that's the whole, it's a band picture. All of my bands, what?
Chops.
You wouldn't want me preaching to you. I said, where'd you find this go? I conformed to the pattern of the world back then. Can you say amen? But I've been renewed in my mind. My soul's been saved since then. Are you listening to me? So then, so suskiamatozoa is don't become a fleeting, transitory pattern of the world. Don't become that. Why not? Because in so doing, you look just like the world even though you're not. But be you metamorphosed. Be you transformed. Think about it. This is stuff, this sounds deep, but it's not deep. Don't be conformed, but be metamorphosed. Don't be a pattern, but a metamorphosis is when that worm crawls into that cocoon and spins that cocoon and stays there eating the sincere milk of the cocoon word. Can you say amen? For the protracted time it takes him to become mature and go through a complete change. He doesn't kick the bottom out and try to fly before he's got one wing.
Come on.
Can you say amen here? By the time he comes out of there, he's a brand new creature.
Hallelujah.
He crawled up, he flew out. He's not wormy anymore. He's high above the circumstances. That's you. That's us when our soul is saved. We're not down there anymore, mulling, grumbling along, and making us, you know, we're only human. How'd you like to only be an orangutan tonight, eh? No, the saving of the soul helps us in maturing as believers and coming all God designed us to be. Somebody shout glory. How is that? Because it says here in the word of God, don't be conformed to the world, but be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So then, being born again, watch this, has nothing to do with changing your behavior. I may as well stay here, Lord. I said the new birth has nothing to do with changing your behavior. Nothing. If that was the case, when you got born again, everything would have changed. But because of a lack of insight, people who observed you after you professed Christ and didn't walk like you knew Christ questioned your salvation.
That's right.
So he can't be born again because look at what he did. Go to the 8th chapter of Acts. Oh, I didn't mean to go here, but yes, I did. Amen. 8th chapter of Acts. Let's read here. In verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. He begins to talk about what happened, unclean spirits. Jump down, if you will, to verse number 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And to him that they had gave regard, because out of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Stop right there. Now, Simon's belief, from a literary standpoint, is contiguous or connected to them having believed. The word also does that. Listen, I can call my daughter. Where are you, Dad? I am in Erie. And your mom also. Now what? She's going, where's mom? She knows exactly where mom is. I said also. Yeah. If I were to say, I'm in Erie, and your mom is in Syracuse also, excuse me? Amen. No. Where I am also makes where she is one and the same. Right. Yeah. And say amen? So also ties Simon's belief to them having believed. I may as well stay here, Lord. Theology, in its great wisdom, sometimes the lack thereof, many times will make the mistake of trying to, what we talk about, make parity. How can I say this simply? Our context has to be detained or remain for you to get meaning out of Scripture. Put it that way. And there's parity in Scripture. It's going along, same thing is being said, then there's an oops, which breaks parity, which breaks what we call context. Can you say amen? Yeah. Here, Simon believed also. They believed. Now, either you have to, if you say Simon is not saved, which many people said, many people, well, Simon is not saved because of a behavior he shows later. Can you listen to me? That's where I'm going with this. But what has to happen, if he's not saved, then the Samaritans are not saved.
That's right.
If they are, he is. If he is, they are. If they're not, he's not. You got to take them both. You can't split them. You can't say they are and he's not. Why? Because his is tied to theirs. Can you say amen here? So then, however, they'll look past that and go to a behavior. Are you listening to me? Look at what it says here. We're not going to go through all of this. Look at the 18th verse. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands rather, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. So now they'll say Simon couldn't have believed, he wouldn't have done that. A whole lot of folk that believe in the Lord Jesus have done worse than that.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
There was an element missing here that we did not tap into as the body. We were not taught. Go on to say what Cephas says next. Saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. So he offered them money. And he wanted to buy this gift. But remember Simon's history. Simon was a sorcerer. Simon, now watch this, bewitched the people. Now I'm going to tell you right now. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, I think it's verse 19, talking about the works of the flesh. In there he calls it witchcraft as a work of the flesh.
Yes.
There's nothing spiritual about witchcraft.
Amen.
I may as well just stir here. Why the witch is that? It's not spiritual about that. It's just a work of the flesh.
Amen.
Don't fear any witch.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Why? Because it's a work of the flesh. And it's bewitching.
Yes.
What's bewitching? He was a sorcerer and he bewitched the people.
Yeah.
How? The word sorcerer or sorcery is the Greek word pharmakeia, where we get drugs from, pharmaceutical. Simon had a crucible. Simon was pushing the herbs. Hallelujah. He mixing the stuff up. Drink this. Woohoo! You'll see some stuff, all right. Can you say amen? LSD, that's mind-altering drugs. But it's not spiritual. We can make you see something. Turn your head and I'll pour it in your drink. You will see something. Can you say amen here?
Amen.
I saw, yeah, you saw something all right. Glory to God. Yeah. A demon with a blue tongue and 8 lips. Must be the tribulation. No, ain't none, he ain't describing the tribulation. What am I saying? They looked at Simon's behavior and judged him as not being born again. Like many people will do today because of what you or I have done in the past. But it wasn't that we weren't saved. It's that our souls were not saved in that area. Our minds weren't renewed there. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? What does that mean then? It means then we can control in the post-salvation era. The greatest behavior modifier in the known world is James 1:21. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. If not, it's received and needs to be able, it has the ability to save your soul. Amen. That's the greatest behavior modifier there is. You want to change behavior? The new birth didn't do it. It got you ready for behavioral change. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Waiting on the second enactment of your salvation, which is the saving of your soul. Somebody shout glory here.
Glory.
What? It's not because we just put this in here. This has always been here, hasn't it?
Uh-huh.
But I'm telling you, when I began to see this, because I oftentimes wondered, why did I do that? I know that can never happen in Erie. Why did I do that? I know I'm saved. I'm born again. Can you say amen? How could I have done that? Because your soul is not saved in that area yet. Now I can focus on that. Can you say amen?
Amen?
With great skill and direction and renew my mind in that area and get my soul saved there. And go on to the next thing. Somebody shout glory here. Now go back to that 39th verse of Hebrews 10. Man, so many places we can go here. Now look at what it says. We got about 90 minutes of about 12 hours worth of teaching, so you know we're covering a lot, but we've got to doing our best. Now look at what it says here in that 39th verse. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. I'm going to stop at that word perdition. Apoleia, perdition. It means total annihilation and destruction. Well, yeah, brother. You're going to be destroyed, but not of the being. Everybody said, not of the being.
Not of the being.
That means not the person. The person is not annihilated or totally destroyed, but of the welfare, the spiritual welfare of the being.
Jesus.
So this apoleia here is total annihilation and destruction of the spiritual welfare of the being. And that's what a lack of soul salvation will bring to you. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
So then the greatest enforcer of this is religion. Your spiritual welfare is held in the balance because of your lack of soul salvation that you experience under that canopy of religion.
Amen.
I like to put it this way. The hypodermic needle of religion anesthetizes the power of the new birth.
Amen.
Completely. Numbs you. It's over. There's not going to be anything because religion will numb you and say you're all right there. Can you say amen here?
Amen.
No matter what you say, well, God understands you all right. Yes, that's true. Just all right. You're right. No matter what it is, rather than being confronted by the word of God concerning that outward demonstrable sinning in one's life, they'll just cover it over.
Yeah.
It's all right. Well, I understand you're only human. Just keep on coming. And the new birth is totally not even the power of the new birth is completely suppressed.
Amen.
Now, how do we get there? We get there, first of all, through ignorance. We have not been taught this.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
But the Bible, it is very plain that the saving of the soul has nothing to do with being born again.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing. But everything to do with the subsequent act of having been born again to get in the position that God wants us to.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
To maximize the Christian life.
Yes.
Well, how do we get there? Well, you just saw that you renewed your mind. How do you renew your mind? By the word of God. Where your trouble, wherever your trouble zone is, like I said this morning, that's where you need the saving of the soul.
Yeah.
I may as well stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you got a problem with tithing, you're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
You don't need no scripture on being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. If you got a problem with the fact that, you know, people speak in tongues and yet you love the Lord with all your heart that you know him and you're walking on. It's not. It's just one problem you have. The saving of the soul in that area.
Amen.
There are people, there are erudite scholars who love God with all of their heart, who do not believe in healing. It's for today.
Amen.
Are they going to go to hell? Absolutely not.
No.
They're born again. Will they maximize the Christian life? Absolutely not. I dare not think. We shared this with Pastor. I dare not think. And we've seen this over and over and over again throughout our 26 years of ministry. Mm-hmm. Had you not been the people that you are, and him being the person that he is, and Sister Peg being the person that she is, we'd be having a different story here tonight. Amen. But we, whose report are we going to believe?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Do you know people fold their arms up? Well, that's just the will of the Lord. No, it's not. Amen. Why? Because he told me it's not. He told me he sent his word and healed us. My mind's not going to fight the word of God. My soul is saved there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You don't believe in tithing? Your soul's not saved there. That's all. Can you say amen? You don't believe in healing? Your soul's not. You need the saving of the soul there. Your pragmatism and your logic and your reasoning, all has got to be pushed aside for the glory of the word of God. And when you do, how do you test that? Remember, you got a testing. How do you know your soul is saved there? Because you're never going there again.
Amen.
That stinking thinking is gone forever.
Amen.
I didn't believe in tithing until I said, what? Ten what? Ten what? Of what? A what?
My money?
Whose money? Yours?
Yeah.
Mine. Ain't no man can tell my money. She's never done it. Glory to God. Serious. But then I got enlightened. And when I got enlightened, I salivate to tithe. Are you listening to me? Soul must be saved there. Mind must be renewed there. I don't have no trouble with that no more.
Hallelujah.
Why? I'm not like them that draw back unto perdition. I want to believe in the saving of the soul in the area of tithing.
Yes, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hit me on the back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, was that good preaching going to work? Woo! So glad. So glad my soul got saved in that area. The Lord blessed us miraculously some years ago in an area of financing. And many years, you know, I've been tithing at that point. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, that's a figure I want to give. The ministry takes care of us and we're okay. But I've never been able to just kind of give over in that area. I really want to be able to give in this area. I'm telling you, money becomes a novelty after a while. It's just all of a sudden, when it starts coming, God sends it.
Yes.
All you're looking for is, where do I deposit it?
Amen.
Amen. And the Lord starts directing us. We start doing things that we always desire to do. And the Lord worked through my wife in a meeting. Now you're talking about someone that's basically, I'm a tither. But you know, you can get saved in one area, still not be saved in another area.
Amen.
Can you say amen? I'm talking about saving of the soul. You still can have some things to think in another area. But so she made a comment. She said, what are you going to give in this meeting? I said, well, you know what? I felt real good. I said, she said, you got a figure? I said, yes. She said, what is it? It was a big meeting. I said, five. She says, five. Yeah. She says, five what? I said, 5,000. She says, whoa, glory to God. That's the same figure I got. I said, well, glory to God. She said, no, I'm going to add mine to yours. I said, I got a weekend in the I thought, now wait a minute, I felt real good a minute ago. God, I'm way beyond where I've ever been. She said, glory to God. That's the same figure I got. I said, all right, baby. So I'm right. She says, beg it for 10. I said, 10 what? We wrote that check for $10,000. I stood up, I said, do you see what we're doing here? And we handed that $10,000 very subtly.
Amen.
$10,000. And it wasn't 6 weeks later, we were tithing $1,500 a week.
Amen.
Had never done that before. Oh, you listen to me? I'm just trying to tell you, you got to get past you. God is God. My mind's been renewed in the area of giving. Then he said, okay, I just want you to do this. Told us there was a pastor's home that was in foreclosure. Said, help him. I thought, glory to God. I said, what? How many, you know, he said, well, been in this home 21 years. He says, this is in California, Riverside, California. He says, listen, by the first we're out of here, he's looking at by the first we're out of here, they've given us all we're going to get. Got to move by the first. The Lord said, write the check. I'm thinking, I want to ask him, well, Lord, won't you ask him how much he owes first? Sure would be nice to know. I said, you ask him. I thought, oh, God. I said, well, brother, what do you need by the first? He says, $4,500. I thought, $4,500? He says, $4,500. I said, go. I looked at her. She looked at me. It was a done deal. Took the checkbook out. I wrote the check. His wife just started crying. My wife said this, and this is not a loan.
Amen.
You cannot give God.
Amen.
Now, let me give you a little history here. I'm the one who challenged the tithe. I'm the one who challenged, she got on fire for God, regular giving, offering, whatever, you know. I'm Methodist. I put my $5 in all the time. Don't shout me down. Keep looking ahead and smiling. Nobody know we're talking about you too, amen. They got my five, bam. Five. I always give my $5. You start talking about triple figures and stuff like that, man, my head went with tilt. And she said, you know, she said, we can't give an offering until we've tithed. So what you talking about? That if you give money before you tithe, you're giving money out of the tithe. That's not an offering. The offering come after you've tithed. That totally messed me up there. So we got to give this 10% first, then we get to give an offering. Are you listening to me? But when I began to ingest that stuff, all the next thing I know, I'm a walking, literally opportunistic, when can I find something to give to?
Amen.
Can you say amen? Why? My soul got saved in that area. Wherever you're having trouble with the word of God, it's not because you're not born again, not spirit-filled. Your soul's not saved yet in that area. Somebody shout glory here. Well, then if that's the case, my brother, then if we renew our mind by the word of God, everywhere we see this, we accept it as the truth. Now, do your feelings go with it? No. They don't have to. Let me tell you the difference between obedience and compliance. You never obey a speed sign. So obey the speed laws. You can't. I said, you can't. You can comply. Sometimes. If you're late, you're out of compliance. Well, shout me down. Amen. You're going on, it's 65 on the thruway.
Amen.
You say, until you're late. Look. 19, I'm going to tell you this and we'll get back to that. Everybody say compliance.
Compliance.
Don't let that go. 1994, we're in Lafayette, Louisiana. And we're getting ready to minister. And the Lord had already given me things along this line. And I'm standing there, right in praise and worship, and a voice came out of my belly, inside, outside, it enveloped me. And I heard these words. It was as if somebody was having a megaphone in my ear, but yet it was resonating on the inside of me as well. The soul only wants to escape the encounter with the anointing. Again, the soul only wants to escape the encounter with the anointing. The soul being environmentally stimulated. And it's not stimulated by holy things. It wants to do its own thing. 55 in the slow lane. That's the soul. Don't bother me. I'm comfortable. Let me do this. That's the soul. It does not want to be disturbed. And nothing disturbs the soul like the anointing. It encroaches upon the life of the carnal man. The higher the anointing, the more the soul retreats to some way of getting from under it. The praise and worship is high. The anointing is high. There your hands are up. You're looking at the syllabus. You're singing every word. You're on key. The melody is down. And you're out there on the lake fishing. Or you're at the beauty salon. Or you're looking at that nail thing you've got to get done somewhere down. Are you listening to me? It takes you away by escaping that encounter with the anointing and puts your mind on something else. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
It cannot stand the anointing. If for some reason, when we finished the song, praise and worship was wonderful, was it not? If at the end of that, pastor took the mic and walked and said, you know what? Let's do that again. What? That last song. What? That long one we just did? Oh man, and that's enough of that? Soul move. Everybody say soul move.
Soul move.
Let's not go down that trail again. Isn't that enough? I mean, enough is enough. If we were to say, let's have everybody stand up tonight, let's, before we leave here, glory to God, let's dance before the Lord. Do I? Let's dance before the Lord. And I don't, you don't know my personality. Let's dance before, no, we're not going to dance before the Lord. Everybody, with five or six people, there'll be some abstainers. I guarantee it. And if pastor were to say, we're not leaving here until everybody dances before the Lord. Are you listening to me? If it means we're going to get out from under this, let's get on it. God. Why didn't you say you were serious? That's just so pragmatism, logic, escape the anointing. Get away from it. Are you listening to me? And I said compliance. You can only comply with the laws of man. You can't comply with, you got to obey the word.
Yes.
Compliance literally is a survey and the calculation of the soul that complies when it's convenient and assesses the penalty of non-compliance and then comes within the parameters of what that law says, only because of avoiding the penalty. That's why we left a year ago, October, left Austin, Texas, en route for Deming, New Mexico, in the middle of the evening. So we're going to be driving basically late at night. We got out of Deming, Austin came down, went through the hill, country came down. All of a sudden we found this Interstate 20 and the speed limit was 80 miles an hour. I'm thinking, what? I've been on 75, but 80 miles an hour speed limit. My God. But watch this. 80 is more than I've ever driven legally. But the soul will add 5 miles of grace. Can you say amen here? Blessed be the name of the Lord. It has to. We've got to. You would have been satisfied at 70 to 75, but the soul is never satisfied with what it already has. It's going to extend its territory. Until. You spiritual? You singing, blessed be the name of the Lord? All of a sudden, the Texas black and white comes on the highway instantly. Did somebody tell you, hark, hark, one should decrease one speed instantaneously. Bam, boom, bam, boom. Why? You're considering the penalty. Obedience is that which is done with divine insight and the blessings that await you for having obeyed.
Amen.
The soul can never obey the word. It complies with the word. But the spirit of man obeys the word. Can you say amen? Seeing you have obeyed the truth through the spirit. Not high case. Through your spirit.
Amen.
That's where seeing you have purified your souls through the obeying of the truth. You've obeyed the word of God through your spirit. Not your mind. That's compliance. Can you say amen? Man, we got so much to do, so many places to go. We got to let you out though. Amen. Now listen to me. Look. I'm trying not to go. Look, we were leaving Mariana, Florida, 1992, I think thereabouts. No, 1994, because I didn't get this until 1994 fully. So it had to have been about that time. I had a teaching on Hebrews 4 and 12, which we didn't get to tonight. Can't get to. Won't even open up that door. So I'm coming through Mariana, Florida. My wife is asleep. We got one of those minivans, and we'd be out 2 or 3 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks at a time. So we had all about change of clothing and stuff like that. Matter of fact, came from there to Akron, Ohio. So we had all about change of clothing in there. And I'm driving in the middle of the night. And I heard this. The Lord said to me, remember, we're en route to Memphis, Tennessee. And the Lord said to me, he said, don't think spiritual. He said this, he said, you remember Stax Records, don't you? I said, what? He said, you remember Stax Records, don't you? I said, Stax Records? I said, Lord, I didn't know you knew anything about Stax Records. Stax Records' home was Memphis, Tennessee. So I'm en route to Memphis, Tennessee. I got a message on Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, what's that got to do with it? And all of a sudden it hit me. Memphis, Tennessee, meeting on division of soul and spirit. There was a group at that time, early in the 70s, back in those days, called Sam and Dave. Had a number one hit. Anybody remember it? I'm a what? I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. I started laughing uncontrollably. Boy, I knew exactly what he was saying. What he was saying is, I want you to debunk that myth. And so what we've done, listen to me, people of color, we've been persuaded we've got something nobody else has. What's that? Soul. It was a complete, inundated, hell conquered up, conjured up phraseology served up on the platter of pride through black people.
Amen.
We finally had something nobody could take. Are you listening to me? Because we've got soul and they don't. Musically. I'm talking, when I went to California, I'm raised in the New Orleans area. I'm a drummer, polyrhythmic. The brother got timing. Understand? I get out there, and they got people like Jan and Dean, surf music. Go down, go down, go down, go down, go down, go down, pop, boom, pop, boom, pop. What is this? Where's the bottom? Where's the flick? Where's the lick? None of that. Go down, go down, go down, go down, go down, go down. Surf's up, surf's up, surf's up. Where's the soul? We bought into it. The platter of pride.
Amen.
We got afros out to here. We've got dashikis made at JCPenney. We Africans. Are you listening?
Amen.
We got the queen of soul, Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
We got the king of soul.
James.
Who's that? Well, black and pride. We bought it all. And it was Satan selling us a bill of goods to keep us suppressed.
Amen.
Till we didn't know our spiritual liberties were.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
We thought soulish and we lived soulish.
Yes. Amen.
But then we came to the conclusion that God's word override any cultural norms.
Yes.
Any cultural biases.
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And I bought into the fact that If the Bible says we are not soul, amen, I don't have soul. Amen. I'm a spirit man.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I am not going to allow this bias, cultural, ethnic override to make me put everything under the black hole. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Of soul.
Yes. Amen.
I'm redeemed from soul mentality.
Yes.
My soul is saved in that area. So much so, oh Lord, got a sense of humor. When he launched our ministry, I don't know how this happened. I'm going to have to ask him about when I get there. We launched, our ministry was basically launched in Caucasian environments. I don't know how that happened. Everybody had called us, wanted us to come, all out of California, all over the rest of the country. Just basically Caucasian. We're singing, we're not singing BB and CC Winans. We're singing Lulu Ramans. Two more hands up raised. Two more hands are giving praise. I'm thinking, what happened? Whatever it takes. If you got to suppress your cultural, or you listening to